Hello everyone, my name is Oluwafemi Oluwadurotimi Popola. I am the author of a book called I Am Existence, which also happens to be the name of this podcast. So this is the I Am Existence podcast. In this episode, we will be discussing the third chapter of the book called What is Sin? Now, sin in most people's mind is doing something wrong. And whenever you hear the word sin, you probably have something in mind that a certain action that you consider sinful, and that to you is sin. Or maybe it's something that's really emphasized in the church that you attend or whatever religious body that you are a part of. However, when you look at the Bible, the first time the word sin is used, it's used in a very interesting way. And to go into this, I want to segue into a concept that is quite well known amongst certain religious circles. There is the concept of an antichrist who is coming into the world at the end of time to do a lot of damage, and there are some characteristics of that antichrist who people who study religion and history have identified in certain individuals throughout history. Some people say that Hitler was an antichrist, some people say Nebuchadnezzar was an antichrist, but it's in many religious circles, it's generally understood or agreed that one of the key antichrists, if not the first antichrist, is a man called Nimrod. Nimrod has a very interesting history. If you want to look into that, a lot of world religions today, by whatever name they call their gods, in some way or another, have their allegiance or their reverence of Nimrod. In Western cultures, Eastern cultures, Asian cultures, African cultures, they are met by the names of many different gods. And if you even look at the Western cultures, you realize that there is a very strong similarity between their gods. For instance, Odin and Odin, who is worshipped, I think, amongst the Greeks, and the Roman god. There is an equivalent of Odin. There's an equivalent of Thor. There is an equivalent of Semiramis, and all of that. So many of these characters go back to a man called Nimrod and his son and his wife slash mother. So Nimrod is a very interesting character, and he has had a very indelible mark on world history as a whole. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I do not want to focus on Nimrod. Rather, I want to focus on something the Bible points out. I beg to differ that Nimrod is actually the first antichrist. And I'd like to point to another character in the Bible that we all know, who goes by the name of Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, we see that Adam and Eve gave birth to two sons. And because one of them was angry, he killed his brother. And everybody knows the story of Cain and Abel. But that's usually where it ends. But that's not where the Bible ends the story. The Bible ends the story by talking about the fact that Cain was kicked out of the Garden of Eden and he moved to the east of Eden. And actually, he was kicked out of the land of Eden, not the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had already been kicked out of the garden. And then Cain was now kicked out of the land of Eden. And he went east to a land called Nod. And then the Bible goes into an interesting historical breakdown of Cain's genealogy. And if you read through that very small section of the Bible, you realize that many things that affect the world today, the very first person who introduced it or who practiced it was a descendant of Cain. And if you look at it, for instance, one of his descendants was the first person to work with metals. Now, that may seem like, you know, what's the big deal working with metals? You take metals and clang it together. But if you think about the fact that every weapon of destruction. Practically every weapon that is used to take another human being's life that has caused devastation on the earth in some way or another is made through some form of metal. Swords were for the longest time used in battle, and then after some time, guns were formed, and now today, nuclear weapons and a bunch of other things. And all of that somehow ties into the use of metal in one way or another. Another one of his descendants is known for being the first polygamist, which doesn't sound like a big deal. I mean, what's there in being a polygamist or having several women on your side? But that was the first departure from God's plan for the relationship between a man, like the very first person to depart from that order or that design was one of the descendants of Cain. And you have to wonder where these people were getting their inspiration from. How is it that one of his descendants was the first person to go into music? And when you talk about music, you may just think, okay, maybe he played the flute and he banged around the drum and everything. But if you go into the science of music, people who study sounds, vibrations, their musical weapons, there are sounds that a person can make that can stop your heart, literally. There's a note called the Brown note. I don't know if it's actually a real note or it's a theoretical note, but there's the possibility of that note where if that note is played, you will lose control of your bowels. There is nothing you can do. There's vibrations that can be done in an environment where your literal organs start vibrating inside of you. And all of this ties to music has to do with notes and octaves and things like that. So understanding all of these things, you wonder where these people got their inspiration from. And it's very curious, like I said, the first time the word sin is used, it's used in a very peculiar way. It's not described as an action. It's described as an entity. God told Cain, he said, when if you allow the thing that you're thinking about to fester, sin lies at the door and is looking for an entrance. And I believe that when Cain allowed his thoughts to fester and he finally gave in to those emotions that of anger and rage that he was feeling, he opened up a door to an entity that got into his lineage and gave him and his descendants access to certain levels of understanding that were not available to humans in the first place. There is a reality. We understand sin today to be certain actions, but when you think about it, every one of those actions is influenced by something. We all understand, most of us have heard of the seven deadly sins, lust, greed, and apathy, and the different things. I don't know what the names of those things are because I don't really follow that religious line of thought, but I know that there are seven deadly sins, sloth, and all of these things. So every one of these habits can be so ingrained in a person. It can start out as a habit and then turn into an addiction where you literally have no control of it. At that point where you have lost control and that habit has taken over your personality, it's no longer you, it's something else. You want to stop, but something is preventing you. And so this is one of the things that the book talks about. It just talks about the reality of sin being an entity. Sometimes it's not just you that is thinking those thoughts. Sometimes it's not you that is preventing yourself from doing what you know to be right or stopping what you know to be wrong. There is actually, and there are entities that were on the earth. The Bible talks about the serpent that came and spoke with Eve in the garden. And some of these entities are around. And I believe that this is one of the things that's in the book. So the idea of this chapter is that it almost seems like a segue into an unrelated topic, but it's not, because there is a reality, there is an existence outside of what it is that we know and see. And these things all have effects on the way we live our lives, the choices we make. When you read the story of Cain, you see that, yes, him and his descendants were influenced by foreign entities, but Cain himself had to grant them access by a decision that he made. So that is the story of this chapter, and I trust that it will help with our understanding further. So contrary to what we've believed, what many of us have believed and held on to, sin is not just an action or something that we do. It is a reality. It is a part of existence. There are entities that are involved in the decision-making process. And these things influence the way we behave, influence the outcomes of our lives, and even of our genealogies. So, in as much as this may seem like an abstract thought, it ties into the fact that there is a reality, there is an existence. And it's not just actions. There are entities. And all of these entities, including ourselves, including the entity called sin, all have a role to play in the identity called existence, which will be further explained in subsequent chapters. So that will be all for today on today's episode. If you're interested in learning a little bit more, you can purchase the book on Amazon. You can just do an Amazon search for I Am Existence by Oluwafemi Oluwadurotimi Popola.